Good morning. The reading today is from Matthew 13, which is page 980 in your church Bibles. There's two sections, verses 33 to 35, and then I'll read verses 44 to 52. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. And then 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the word of God.
Harvey, is this here to be a notice as well? There's a new One Family magazine that's come out, been published, edited by our own Harvey Jessop. That should be available in the bag. Did you bring them down? Thank you. Yep. Lots of things. Seek and you will find. Let's pray. Father, we so want to know what your kingdom is that we can seek after it. And we so want, Lord, to know the fulfillment of your promise, your faithful promise, that when we seek you, we find you, and we will find your kingdom at work in our lives and through us, Lord. Despite our many weaknesses, through us, you are building your kingdom. And so we thank you this morning as we talk about this topic, that you are already doing so much. Help us to see and to hear all that you want to say of encouragement and challenge. Amen. So we are following this series together with other churches across Reading, together with the charities and organisations doing God's kingdom work in our town. And so this is an exciting time for us to be thinking, reflecting and engaging in how we as individuals and how we as a church family together at New Hope can really be part of what God is doing across our town. So today we're thinking about seeking God's kingdom. This is something that we all do, everybody. If we think about all the churches and all the different Christians across the town of Reading, there are thousands. Thousands, literally thousands of people who love Jesus and are seeking his kingdom in their very different ways. Because as churches, we're all quite different, aren't we? Certainly New Hope is quite different from most churches. But we all share our same heartbeat of one kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's not the kingdom of Joy or the kingdom of Amy or Emma or Catherine or anybody else. Sorry, I'm not picking on you guys. It's the kingdom of God. It's his kingdom that we're seeking, his kingdom that we're building. So despite our differences across the town, despite the different places in which we seek to bring God's kingdom, we share, we're united together in it being God's kingdom that we are each seeking to build. just as last week, it was one gospel that we were all seeking to proclaim. So, how do we know? How do we do it then? How do we fix our eyes on that one kingdom together and as individuals? Well, Jesus gives us a number of clues. The first one I want to allude to is his clue in the Lord's Prayer. When he teaches his disciples to pray, he says, pray this. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we know that if we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about what God has made heaven like and what Jesus himself was like when he came to earth and said to people, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Now, these things tell us that the kingdom of God is not about a place. It's not geographical. The kingdom of heaven is personal. The kingdom of heaven drew near in the person of Jesus. He brought God's character, God's values. He himself is God, and therefore he brought himself, his love, his mercy, his grace, his truth, his wisdom, his challenge, his holiness. He himself was the kingdom drawing near. And he taught his disciples to pray that the kingdom of heaven would come on the earth as it was in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean that we are praying that Jesus will come back. I mean, we do pray that Jesus will come back. I'm not saying we don't pray for that. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, pray that God will sow the seeds of the kingdom in you so that you can be his kingdom. The same way that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was the kingdom of God drawing near to people. He was the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And his challenge to us, his encouragement to us, is that we also are the kingdom of God. Why? Why are we the kingdom of God? Anybody here perfect? I'm not. I'm fairly sure you're not either. But we are the kingdom of God because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So the same as Jesus, you and me, when we draw near to other people, the kingdom of heaven is drawing near to them in us. Isn't that the most wonderful, beautiful, incredible, powerful, and very frightening concept? You are the kingdom of heaven on the earth. But, did you know there was a but coming? We're human beings. And so quite often, especially in our very distracting world, we find ourselves pulled back into what is our human nature. And instead of being kingdom of heaven in our hearts, in our lives, that is overwhelmingly what we're about, we do become fixed on the kingdom of joy. The kingdom of Tony, the kingdom of Harvey, the kingdom of Titch. What kingdom are we building with our lives? It's not easy to seek first the kingdom of God. Doesn't come naturally to us because our nature is human. But Jesus says, if you come, if you follow me, then seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God's kingdom with all that you are and build that kingdom. We can only do that by seeking on a daily basis. When we seek God's kingdom in ourselves first, as Jesus taught his disciples to do, then as we do our lives day by day, as we have conversations with our family, our friends, our work colleagues, with those that we meet on the streets, then as we seek more and more of God's kingdom in our lives, we will be like the yeast in the dough, which the smallest amount, even if we are the only Christian within our work team, if we are the only Christian in our family or our friendship circles, we will still be able to build God's kingdom, because when we allow God to build his kingdom in us, it is greater than the kingdom in the world or of the world. When we understand its worth, when we know how much we will grow and be more than we can imagine or ask, when we know that God will do more in us and through us because we are kingdom people, then we understand that that is worth more than anything else in the world, anything else that anybody else has to offer. We will be like the man who saw a field and knew it was the best, and so he sold everything, or found buried treasure in the field, isn't it? And treasure hidden in the field. Sell everything else to buy that field. Or the pearl merchant who finds the most exquisite pearl and sells everything else in order to have it. If we fully understood what the power of God's kingdom at work in us was like, it would be more important to us than anything else. The most important thing that we can do. And so we, as Jesus' disciples today, operate with that same mandate. Seek first the kingdom of God. As one church across Reading, we are one because we all love Jesus, because we are all seeking after his kingdom to be at work in our lives and through us, to pursue kingdom lives that will transform us in order that we might then transform Reading in his name. One kingdom being built in our town for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who seeks only to bring glory to the Father through the Holy Spirit, who is indwelling, who lives in us each and every day. His one character, his values. So, how do we do that? How do we seek God's kingdom in our everyday lives? Well, the word seek is interesting, isn't it? We don't use it very often. It's almost a kind of spiritual or Christian terms in terms of what we're talking about today. But seeking really centres on three particular things. If you seek something, first and foremost, it's about a vision. You're looking for something. Oh, I'm seeking my lost keys. That's one I pretty much seek every day. Or we're seeking the influence or the kind of shaping of something. We're seeking after something that will change us, influence. So seeking to become like somebody else. And seeking also involves some kind of action. Like the children, first thing this morning, they had to go out and look for those, well, not out of the room, but they had to go and look for those letters. It involves some kind of action. So those are three key elements, three key parts of what it means to seek God's kingdom in our lives. So the first one then, vision. It's difficult to seek anything without using your eyes. Primarily, we seek things by looking for them. Where's a pen when you need it? Looking for a person that we're meeting from a train. Seeking begins by looking. So if we want to seek God's kingdom, we have to look at it and for it. I wonder what you look at most. What do you think you look at most? Phone. Google. The answer to everything. Is that what you look at the most, Sarah? Okay. Okay. Yep. I'm just asking for things that we spend our time looking at.
Ourselves,
looking in the mirror. You're looking very fine today. But that's part of it, isn't it? The kingdom of me. Yeah. How much time we spend looking at ourselves or looking at, you know, things to do with me, you know, whether it's Google or Amazon or
spreadsheets.
Yeah. Yeah, not much kingdom life in spreadsheets, are there? Oh, Bob. Wow. Lots of prayer for Bob. Laundry, yes. Household tasks, yes. Or just the mess if you don't do the household tasks, in my case. Others, other people, we do for comparison or kind of like...
Comparison, approval,
validation, yeah. I'm repeating those so that they go onto the recording, sorry. Yep, yep. TV, social media, Facebook, Netflix, emails, work stuff can be very consuming, can't it? All kinds of work stuff. Food, yes. The road through the car window. Yeah, yeah, yeah. By comparison, how much time do we spend looking at God? Just looking at Him. Looking at who He is. Looking at His Word. Looking at His character. We cannot seek God's kingdom if we're not looking at Him. And if we want to be people who every day are seeking God's kingdom and building it, then we have to look at Him at least once a day. And if we're serious about it, we should be spending hours of every day looking at Him, looking to Him. Looking for Him. Where is He at work already that we can join in with? Our eyes should constantly have a kingdom filter so that we look at everything, whether it's Google or TV or the road or anything else, through the eyes of God and His kingdom. So where can you see God at work? Can you see Him at work already? In your family, your friends, your colleagues? Can you see something that God is doing? Or perhaps we're just not looking. Perhaps we don't see because we're not asking Him to show us with that filter. Where do you see God's kingdom? In the difficult things like your finances. Where do you see God's kingdom? In the way that you raise your children, or the way in which you engage with your friendships? Are you noticing new things that God seems to be doing, shoots coming out like a seed of a conversation or an act of kindness? We need to make a decision. Ideally, we write these things down because that way we remember and we hold ourselves accountable. What am I going to spend my time looking at this week? And how can I get more kingdom perspective on the things I do have to look at? Ask the Holy Spirit to prompt and convict you in the moments when you most need that sense of Him looking, or you looking at Him. Raise your expectations of how His fresh vision and perspective will bless you and build you up, give you new insights so that you can be building His kingdom in your life. The second thing we do when we seek is we allow things to influence us. We seek to be like somebody else. Jesus was telling parables to crowds of people who followed Him and wanted to learn from Him. He Himself was the kingdom of heaven who was drawing near, And they didn't always realize it or see it, but they were somehow drawn to be near him. They wanted to understand what he was saying. They wanted to be influenced by him, to be understanding more and therefore change, to have something of him and of God in him rubbing off on them. And that's the same for us today as well, isn't it? Why were you drawn to Christian belief and faith and expression? Were you drawn because it was a fun place to spend your Sunday mornings? I wasn't. Were you drawn because it just looked like such a fun life to live? Sometimes. Most of us have been drawn by who God is, by somehow grasping that and thinking, I want that. I want more of God. Seeking his influence. That comes from time that we spend with him. In the same way, time that we spend with anybody shapes us. It changes us. Don't know if you've ever noticed, when you're around a particular person, you start to speak like them. Have you ever done that? Notice it? You pick up words. If you spend time with Christy, you find yourself saying, glory, at a random moment. It can be hard in the other way to spend all of our time in an office environment or a work environment where other people swear all of the time to keep faithful with our tongues and not use language like that. That's not to say everything outside God's kingdom is bad or that we should avoid the influence of it. There are many things that are good about the world around us. But if we truly want to seek God's kingdom, if we want to be a people who will seek God's kingdom in order to transform our town, then it has to be that seeking Jesus, drawing near to Jesus, is more important than anything else. And so finding a way to make sure that he is our greatest influence. We need to move towards him. Allow him to draw us into his presence, into his kingdom, and into himself. We spend more time in worship, whatever that looks like, whether it's listening to worship CDs or whether it's, you know, making sure that we get quiet time and space every single day. Whether it's listening to talks by speakers from all around the world, which are available on the internet, reading books or blogs, Twitter, seeking Jesus and those who radically follow him, listening to other music that expresses God's kingdom values and character, finding a prayer partner or a triplet and being committed in meeting with them. Who do you want to influence you? Who is it who's shaping the kingdom of you so that you can become either more like them, or are you being shaped to be more like Jesus? We need to move things around in our lives so that we make more space to draw near to Jesus. We will be influenced by many things around us. We can't help that. It's part of being a human being. But let's allow and make space for God's influence to be the greatest one. Where will you make space for God to influence you this week? Just think about that for a minute. The third thing then about seeking God's kingdom is action. The person buying a field, the pearl merchant, they didn't just go and think, wow, wasn't that a wonderful experience? I've seen this amazing thing. No. They went and they sold everything that they had in order to buy the land and buy the pearl. Seeking God's kingdom requires some form of action. We follow through with what we see and what we hear, what we've grown to understand, what God seems to be saying to us through Holy Spirit presence within us. We follow through with actions in our lives that will bring changes and transformation to us and to others. It has to be proactive. If it's not, it's not really authentically allowing the kingdom to be built in us. I might read every book in the library about the French language. I might spend my time listening to people who speak French and growing my understanding of the language and all the various wonderful beautifulness of it. That was for you, Emma. But if I never open my mouth to actually speak it or go to France in order to use it properly, then I'm not really truly seeking to be a French speaker. If we're not doing things to express and to work out God's kingdom, then we're not truly seeking him. Jesus is not holding back on the challenging stuff. He's saying, you can read all about the kingdom. You can know everything about my character. You can understand it deeply within yourself. You can pray and you can spend all of your life being centered on that. But if it doesn't result in changing actions and an outworking, an expression that changes something else about you or about the world that you occupy, then it's not truly seeking. Jesus says, the fishermen who sit with their haul from the net know which are the good fish and the bad fish. Those who've genuinely sought God's kingdom and those who haven't. And he doesn't hold back. He says those that are not truly seeking his kingdom are thrown away. This is not intended to scare us. It's simply a spiritual, eternal truth. If you are truly seeking God's kingdom, it will show in the actions of your life. The kingdom will be visible in you. Habits form out of small actions. We might feel awkward at first, or it might be difficult or inconvenient or uncomfortable to put God's kingdom first in our lives inwardly and then to act on it in making changes to who we are and how we live. But in time, the Holy Spirit enables them to be really powerful. Those things which have started off feeling like the most awkward thing in the world, gradually, as we make a habit of them, become beautiful. It won't be easy to fit God's kingdom into your routine, into your relationships, into your life. But the Holy Spirit is in you in order to help you to grow in these things and these areas, to lead you into new habits that might transform who you are. And will certainly deepen God's kingdom in the way that you live. God seeks responsive hearts. Those are the ones that he can most powerfully use. People who will hear him saying something and do it. Making a phone call to somebody that's just been on your heart or your head. Sending a text to somebody with a word of encouragement or a Bible verse. And if God doesn't give you those things, perhaps you're not asking for them. Make time in your week to ask him, who can I bless today? Who can I encourage? And then wait for him to respond with something you can do. Perhaps it's about just as you go about your daily life, buying a sandwich for someone sleeping rough, or stopping and talking to somebody who looks a bit distressed or unhappy. Having the courage to talk with your colleagues about faith or any topic where you can bring God into it and your faith into it. Stepping into a role or something that you can do to serve God that you know that you can't do in your own strength. But in seeking God's kingdom, we seek to actively put ourselves in uncomfortable places where he prompts us, where he leads and stirs us. Seeking God's kingdom is a proactive thing. We need to do something in order to express what God has inwardly done in us. And so as we seek during September to draw together all of the Christians across Reading with that same centered vision to see Reading transformed, we do it by being people, individuals, unique as you are, and a community together in what we do as a church family, who are seeking God's kingdom, not the geographical place, not our services and worship time together, but seeking God's kingdom, God's character, God's values to be inside of us, influencing us, shaping us, that we look at them, that we spend our time seeking to understand them and to grow in them and to be people who will act on that. I believe that New Hope is a church family where this is already happening and where people desire to go more deeply with God. So I want to end this morning by encouraging you to just turn around, maybe talk to somebody that you've come with, talk to somebody sitting near you, talk to somebody that you know. If you don't want to talk to anybody, that's fine. You can just talk with Jesus in your heart. But let's say, how can we put this into action this week? What are the things that God is most saying to you about something you can change this week that you could be more seeking after his kingdom? And then pray that for each other. If you're not sitting next to anybody, maybe move to somebody that you can talk to.